out of that, a new holiday was born. A Festivus for the rest of us.
Live from the place where these propeller heads are board gaming while you're out shopping, it's the Stacking Benjamin Show. Hey there, money nerds. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and what's better than a Black Friday spent at the local Walmart hoping to score your 15 minutes of fame by getting into one of those Shoppers Gone Wild videos? Well, how about a day of board games with your friends and family? Here to help us kick off our annual board game episode from the board gaming podcast, The Dice Tower, Tom Vassell. And in our FinTech spotlight, how about a video game to help teach kids about money? From Cash Crunch Games, Paul Vassie. And here he is, the guy who thinks this whole show is just a bunch of fun and games, Joe Saul Sehi.
This is, very seriously, some of the most fun that I could ever have, and I'm glad you're along for the ride. Hey, everybody, I am Joe Saul Sehi, Average Joe Money on Twitter, and welcome to my favorite episode of the year. If you've never listened to this particular episode, I love board games. And because this is always a smaller episode because of the holiday weekend, I decided this is when I would put in one that's all about the thing that I absolutely love, which is playing board games. And it's funny because I've been able to introduce so many people to just having some fun with games. Now, my family's always played games, but now a lot of the people around me play games. We've got a group of about 15 guys that every other Thursday, we have them on a text chain, and we get together at somebody's house and play a couple games, have a great time just hanging out. So I'll tell you something you should do before you hang out this Black Friday is head to stackingbenjamins.com/SoFi. That's SOFI, because saving money on those student loans, that's what we all want to do, isn't it? If you've got student loans hanging over your head, why give more money to the man than you need to when the leader in marketplace lending, SoFi, can help you cut the interest rate so more of your payment goes directly toward repaying it and getting rid of those loans quicker. StackingBenjamins.com/SOFI. If you use our link for either student loans or for personal loans, they'll throw in $100 for using our link. StackingBenjamins.com/SOFI. And let's throw in another $450. Magnify Money doesn't give you that outright. You give it to yourself because that's the average amount of money people find when they shop their financial products through Magnify Money. In fact, you'll find SoFi right at the top wherever they compete. Magnify Money searches more products than any other place on the internet, according to a recent Reddit user. Number one, Magnify Money, over 90% of the products out there when it comes to checking accounts, savings accounts, and debt products available at Magnify Money. So whether you're looking at those credit cards so you can get more reward points, or credit cards balance transfers to pay them off more quickly and get rid of debt, or you're looking at a savings account to give you interest or a checking account with lower fees, stackingbenjamins.com/magnify money. You know what? Get that together while you have a day off. If you're listening to us, that means hopefully you've avoided the mad crush, and I'm not going to see you on some television somewhere getting in one of these, what I think of as sad and sadly hilarious fights that are going on in the stores today. Instead, you're at home on your computer at SoFi and Magnify Money, tightening up your finances. All right, great, great show today. I've been listening to Tom Vassell's show since, I'm going to say, 2005. Maybe started in 2000. I think he started in 2005, if not 2006. Like, I was there from nearly the beginning. He's been one of the first podcasters out there. So excited to get the founder of the Dice Tower on the show. Paul Vassie is also going to join us in our FinTech segment. If you head to Cash Crunch Games, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find a cool way to learn about money. He's also getting into the board game business. We'll talk to Paul about that. Action-packed finance fun board games today. Let's get this party started. And Mr. Dice Tower himself, Tom Vassell, joins us for our very special board game episode. Welcome to the basement, man.
I'm very excited. Every once in a while, I'm told that I'm broadcasting from my mom's basement, so I guess I'll broadcast from someone else's.
Well, isn't that great? I mean, we got the wall board games here. I finally get to play games with Tom Vassell, which for many people into board games, that's a big dream of ours, Tom. I don't know if you know that.
It's a big dream till they do it.
And it doesn't live up to the hype?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like when I was in college. I got a lot of first dates. First dates are great, you know. Well, after a while, you start wondering.
You are the guy, though, that really taught me that the fun of board games is hanging out with your friends. And really, you know, you kind of want to win, but it's more fun just hanging out with people and having a great conversation and everybody kind of playing a game together. When did you first get into board games, Tom?
Well, I've been playing them my whole life. My parents taught, you know, they had like game nights and we would play games at home. As a serious hobby, well, I don't know. It's hard to tell because even in college, you know, I was playing games when I should be studying and I would organize game groups. And once the collectible card game craze hit, there may be classes that were failed. But it really, really came to a head when I went to Korea because I was looking for something I could do with my wife. And so I said, well, board game sounds interesting. Let's try to find some that I think she would like. And it just really started snowballing from there.
Do you remember, though, the first board games that you played? I think I remember you saying once that you played games with your dad.
Yeah, well, my brothers and sisters, it's hard to remember the first game. I really remember the first time I played Monopoly. I have a very strong remembrance of the first time I played Stratego and Scotland Yard. Those are three games that left a strong impression on me. I remember those first games. But we played a lot of stuff like Uno and party games too as a kid.
Why do you remember games like Stratego so much? Did it just, you're like, I want more of this or what?
Stratego like was surprising me because I suddenly realized here was a game where I could win because I was better than the opponent as opposed to maybe getting lucky rolling dice. And just the fact that there was no dice, it was just this outguessing your opponent just fascinated me.
That's cool. Now, you were a teacher and a missionary, I believe, but you were able to transition where board games now are all that your life is board games. And tell me about that transition. Was that hard to decide when it was time to leave a job working for somebody else and transition into working for yourself?
Right, because it was never actually my dream. Well, it was kind of like a dream, but it wasn't a dream I took seriously. You know, it's kind of like that, oh, someday I'll get $1 million. It was that kind of dream. But it's not any different than anybody who's going to be an entrepreneur for the first time. There's that very scary step of, I'm going to take this and it's going to be all I'm going to do. That's a tough thing because it does not always work out for everybody. I was very fortunate that I did. I was already making backup plans, right? I'm going to work here on the side. I'll do this on the side. I made all these backup plans to do things on the side and I didn't have to do any of them. So that's very nice.
Boy, that's good. Were you already, it was already rolling, but was there already money coming in so that you already knew where the streams of income were going to come from when you went full time?
There was a very little bit. I just tried to figure it out. And I said, all right, if I can move these things around and we can tighten the belts here at home just a bit, we'll survive. There was some income in and there was the possibility of more. I did some calculations and said, okay, we've had this kind of increase every year. Maybe this will work out if I get this job working here. I was doing news for a website. And if I could get them to pay me a certain amount, it might work out. That was kind of where I put all these numbers together. I called up other people who worked online and asked them what they did and how they did it and tried to figure out just anything I could think of.
I think it's so exciting to people listening that you do what you love. You get to surround yourself with it. Does it ever get tired? You ever like, if I play one more board game, I'm going to just go crazy?
No. I mean, there's times where I might be tired of playing board games, but then I just watch a movie or play a video game or go do something else, read a book. And then I'm ready to play them the next day. I never really get sick of it.
That's great. Well, and I'm glad that you don't because we're so glad that you're here and you've got a ton of expertise that you can share with us. You have been nice enough to put together three board games that you thought would maybe not teach people, Tom, about finance and business, but kind of whet their appetite. You know what I mean? Because I like games that are fun first and then maybe I go decide to discover more about it later. So I'm happy you put that together. And then also later on, we'll talk about games that maybe you want to pick up to take to the family gathering to play with the family that everybody might like. So let's start though with the business and finance ones. What do you have for us?
I thought you put the list together.
Oh boy.
Okay. So the first one, let's start real simple. Okay. Because the fact is almost any game can teach you basic finance by the simple fact of am I going to make money on this? Or in a lot of games, it's points. Points and money can be substituted interchangeably in a lot of games. We'll start with For Sale. This is a very simple card game, but it's money. It's based on money. It's based on real estate. I'm making it sound cooler than it is. But the game itself is really fun. In it, there are 30 different properties that are numbered from 1 to 30. 30, you live on a space station. 1, you live in a cardboard box. And you put out some of these properties, and then players are bidding each round. You start with a certain amount of money. And the first person to basically stop bidding. So if I bid 1, and then you bid 3, and then the next person bids 5, the first person who says, I can't go higher, they have to take the lowest number card in the middle of the table. And the person who bids the highest gets the highest card. So if each turn you're going to put out cards equal to the number of players. So let's say there's 4 players. It might be 30, 29, 28, 27. Well, you know what? I'm going to bid low because I don't care. I'm going to get the 27. But if I have the 1, the 17, the 20, and the 30 out there, suddenly bidding gets a lot more interesting because I don't want that 1. And that's the first half of the game. The second half of the game, you then will use these properties and you try to sell them to get the most money. Although apparently the most money in this game is $15,000. And I think it would scare almost anyone away from the real estate market. But at the end of the game, whoever has the most money is the winner. It's a very simple game. It can be played with almost anybody, but it has some basic financial principles in it.
Yeah, I like the whole you're trying to buy low, sell high, which is principle number one.
That's what I've heard.
And you can play this with, because I've played this game before, you can play this when you say almost anyone. I mean, what's the, I think the youngest age might be 8.
It's possible. I mean, I'm always hesitant with kids' age because every kid is different in those younger years. But yeah, probably. And it goes up to 6 players. And they don't need any kind of gaming expertise. So it's an easy game just to jump in and play with people.
Yeah, that's a great one. And by the way, everybody, if you're out walking the dog or you're on your way to work, I'm going to link to all these in our show notes at stackingbenjamins.com. So don't you worry. Tom, what's the next one?
Well, the next one I'm going to put in is a very classic game, came out in the 1960s, and that is Acquire.
Oh, I love this
Acquire
game.
Acquire is a stock market game that is constantly been reprinted. I just got a new version of it last week, so I know it's still in print. Hasbro has it now. Acquire is simply like you said, buy low, sell high. There's different corporations that are going to be on the board, but they kind of show up. You're almost playing, think Battleship. There's a grid on the board and you have these tiles that might say F6. And so you put a piece on F6 and that piece will build up. If it's next to another piece, it will slowly build up into a corporation. And you're trying to make certain corporations get bigger. They can even swallow up and do takeovers of other corporations. And on your turn, you can buy some shares and you can sell shares. And you're trying to figure out the right corporations to buy into because some of them are going to not do so well at the end of the game. There is a lot of stock market games in existence. This is one of the best. It is not the best, but it is a fantastic one, and it's certainly one of the easiest.
I love the fact that the insider trading part of this game, Tom, where because you have those tiles hidden that you know where they go, I find that by the end of the game, you know, how many? I think you have 6 tiles in front of you, and 5 tiles I don't want to play because they help somebody other than me. And I love that piece of this game that I know a little bit of information that nobody else at the table knows.
Right, and you're going to be forced to play some of those tiles, right?
Right.
So you're going to try to say, okay, well, Susan's really getting into that company. Maybe I should start focusing on that too, because it looks like she's going to build that corporation up larger. And the new version has some nice plastic pieces. It's a pretty looking game, but it's also very fun.
It is very fun. And boy, does it, there's some concepts in here that I like too. One of the concepts being that being part of the biggest company isn't always best, because during the game, if you're part of the smaller company, that's the only way to get money is to actually get swallowed. So sometimes being the smaller fish is actually a good thing.
That's correct.
Yeah. When did you first play Acquire? Because I think I found Acquire like in the early 90s.
Well, you're earlier than me. I played it in the early 2000s.
Yeah, that is great stuff. And then we got time for one more, Tom. Is this your favorite?
Well, it's one of my favorite games.
All right.
I said that Acquire was one of the best stock market games, but I think a better one has come out in the past couple of years, and that game's called Stockpile. Now, this game is from Nauvoo Games, N-A-U-V-O-O, and it is a game of insider trading. I'm not promoting insider trading, but it's existing in this game. But it's not – what it is each round of the game, there's some stocks on the board, and they're going to go up or down. It's very simple. but you know one of them. You get a couple cards, and you'll be like, oh, so, you know, the Micro Machines Incorporated is going to go up by two this round. That's handy information. And so you will then be bidding on trying to collect different stocks of different markets, and then you can also sell it. So if I see you sell several shares of a company, I'll think, what does he know that I don't know? And so the game doesn't really promote insider trading. What it does is it's if you could actually take insider trading out of the deal and just say, you know information.
Yeah.
This person's watching the market in a specific way. And I can look at what other people are doing and learn and take cues from that. And at the same time, this game is fairly simple. Again, stock market games can be super complex, like the real stock market. But I don't think that that's a good thing. Only a few people really enjoy those. And this one's much more basic. It has a little bit of silly fun to it. But it's really a solid game, and I highly recommend it. It's Stockpile.
I'll tell you what's funny, Tom. The first time I played Stockpile, how's this for realistic? The auto companies could not stay solvent in our game. I think they went bankrupt three times during our game. And we thought, wow, how games reflect real life. It's a pretty funny thing. Some of these games have expansions, I know, which are these extra add-ons. And people go to the game store and they'll see the main game. And then they'll see, you know, you can buy this extra bit of fun that goes with the game. I know Stockpile is one of those games that has an expansion. Does that make the game better or more convoluted for that particular game?
Now, Stockpile makes the expansion makes it better. I don't think you need it to play the game. I won't play without it. It adds a little bit of dice, which sounds like it adds more unpredictability, but actually it just changes things up from round to round. It's a pretty simple expansion. The other two games do not have expansions, so you'll be fine there.
That's awesome. Once again, we'll have a link to all these in our show notes at stackingbenjamins.com. Well, let's pivot, Tom, because I got to imagine that when it comes time for the holiday, the Christmas parties, any party around this time of year, even yesterday, Thanksgiving, you were the guy everybody expects to bring over all the games. Is that true?
That can happen, but I usually host Thanksgiving. Okay. So, you know, it's actually kind of weird because I usually don't play games on Thanksgiving because I just always play games. So I kind of sit around and just hang out. And a lot of board gaming people come to my house for Thanksgiving anyhow. But it's always been a Thanksgiving tradition. I've always played party games on Thanksgiving with my family my whole life. So it wasn't until just recent years I don't do it as much on Thanksgiving itself.
That's funny. But when you go to Christmas parties or any place where there's a gathering, do you maybe have a few of those that people might want to try out and pick up that'll be a hit with the family?
Oh, man, I got so many games that I have. I have like a bundle I can take. We'll start by talking about Junk Art. Junk Art is a new game that looks like somebody went to Michael's or some craft store and they stole a whole bunch of pieces when no one was looking. And then they came home and said, I got a game. And that feels like it's a cop-out, but it's not. This game has pieces that look like they're wooden pieces from the craft store in four different colors. And then you're stacking them. Think like Jenga, but in all different ways. Each time, sometimes you're all stacking on one big tower in the middle of the table. Sometimes you're all stacking your own pile, and you're trying to stack it as quickly as you can, but at the same time, don't make it fall over. It is a lot of really silly fun. And it's really a beautiful game. And you'll find that these pieces are not as random as you thought. They were made to fit together. They were made to do some cool things. And it's just a very entertaining game that's as much fun to watch as it is to play. That's Junk Art.
I've never even heard of that one. Is that a brand new one?
Yeah, it's from a company called Pretzel Games. They were a spinoff of Z-Man Games. It's just a big box of wooden components. It's junk space art.
That is really cool. I can't wait to try that. We tried a game that sounds similar that has a pirate ship and you're trying to put stuff on the pirate ship. It's kind of Jenga-ish that way. You know what game I'm talking about?
I do, and the name of it has
I know. I can't remember it either, but I got it for my niece for her birthday, and we had fun playing. And it's, again, one of those games that's very fun to just watch people play because
it's called Riff Raff.
Yes, because it's so pretty. Junk Art sounds in some ways similar. Is that true?
Yeah, there's really a lot of these games out there. Okay. There's some fun. You know, there's a lot of silly ones, and people like stacking things and not making them fall. But this one has a little bit more behind the scenes than most, I thought.
This is so fun. How many people can play that one, Tom?
It's a four-player game or less. But yeah. Again, you could switch out or you could play party style.
Got to take a time out here at our halfway point of talking to Tom Fassel.
to say a big thanks to everybody who's used our link when they've had to stackingbenjamins.com/SoFi. That's S-O-F-I. They're the leader in marketplace lending. And what does that mean? That means that on one end, they have investors who are looking for a set rate of return. And guess what that rate of return is? You. So if you're looking at a lower rate on your student loans or on a consolidation loan, head to stackingbenjamins.com/SoFi, and we will reward you with $100 when you do that. And obviously you put that toward the principal, and guess what? You're paying that loan off even quicker than you were with the lower interest rate that SoFi offers. As Dan Macklin has said before, you'll know very quickly what the interest rate is. They're very flexible when it comes to terms. StackingBenjamins.com/SOFI. And while you're out there shopping today, head to StackingBenjamins.com/MagnifyMoney, because Magnify Money, this phenomenal brand created by our friends Nick, Brian, and their team, that's where you go when you're going to comparison shop all the best products that are out there for financial stuff. So why would you walk into your bank and just look at just a sliver of all the products out there when you could have best in class stuff? Seriously, when have you been in your bank lately? It's just as easy to do most of the stuff over the internet. StackingBenjamins.com/MagnifyMoney. They'll comparison, make it very easy for you to compare, ditch, switch, and save when you head to Magnify Money. Average person there, by the way, saves $450. All right. Tom Vassell's not the only guy we're talking with about board games today. Paul Vassey has a new board game coming out, and he also has a fantastic way to learn about money, which is through his computer game online. If you head to CashCrunchGames.com, let's find out what that's all about. How did he create it? What's going on with Cash Crunch Games? Let's say hello to Paul Vassey coming down to the basement. And joining us in the basement is Mr. Paul Vassey. Glad you could make it, man.
Oh, thanks for inviting me, Joe. Great to be here.
Whenever anybody has games, and especially money-related games, you're always welcome here.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
So tell me, when you formed Cash Crunch Games, what did it have something to do with you in money or you in games? Or was it you saw an opening in the marketplace? Tell me the story of where you were when you decided that we needed to create Cash Crunch Games.
All of the above. Well, what happened was I was a school teacher in the UK for 12 years. I used to teach business, and when we used to teach marketing, human resources, operation management, you know, they would be able to do it, design a cookie, package it, think about selling it, all those kind of things. And when we came to, right, guys, we're going to do finance, I'll get, oh, can't do it, sir. I said, well, what do you mean you can't do it? Finance is fine. It's math, sir, can't do it. And then I taught math for a little bit, and I realized that the problem with math and money is that a lot of people are intimidated by it. They get lost very quickly, and they can't, there's this immediate barrier that goes up regarding money and math, and they see money as math. So I figured that the best way to get them, I was thinking about how do you overcome this where they're not scared about money, they deal with money on a day-to-day basis, and you've got to build up the confidence. So I thought, well, what about a game? Because when you play a game, you're making all the players who play it an expert, because they've been part of the game, they've made the decisions, and they've got something to talk about. And they're learning without even realizing. So that's how I came up with, there must be a way of making money a fun and non-intimidating subject. So that's how I came up with the game. I thought, well, that's a great way to teach kids about money and get a conversation going. Because the more you talk about something, the more you understand it, the more you can explain it.
Absolutely. It's familiarity.
Exactly. And that's exactly what I did. So your personal experiences. I mean, if we went to dinner tonight and said, right, what do you want, Joe, for pizza? Tomorrow I can talk to you about the pizza. Well, right. What topping did you have? What size? Yeah. All those kind of things. You're an expert because you made that decision and you ate the pizza. So now you've got something to talk about.
So you started with the online game.
I did. Yes. So the online game was aimed at teenagers, and it's basically the same principle as the junior edition, everything else, you know, save first, spend later. Because at the moment, there are lots of games. There are great games out there, but it's all about, you've got the money, let's get some passive income coming. So Monopoly, you've got your money, now you're going to buy some hotels and some, you know, some houses, right. And you're going to get money each time round. But it's not teaching you about the principles of money. Yes, there is to a degree, but if you take the statistic that 50% of American families cannot afford an unexpected bill of over $500, they don't have an emergency fund, So they're living paycheck to paycheck. Now, in real terms, Monopoly doesn't apply to them because they don't have the disposable income to go ahead and put a deposit down on a house and get passive income. So we're trying to fix that by looking at it and saying, look, by the end of the month, if you do what we're saying and follow the principles within the game, you're going to have money at the end of the month to make those decisions. So we're trying to get them to stop spending a dollar twice. You can only spend a dollar once. Once it's gone, it's gone. And just start thinking smarter about their decisions. So we did that for the online game. And then people saying, right, we got the online game. It's all good, great. But we actually want a physical board game as well. Because then that creates a way of getting a discussion going. Because right now you're playing on your iPad, you're playing on your phone, or you're playing on your computer. You're not talking to anybody else.
Right.
You know, and that, and I think we're missing a trick with that. And that's why I think it's great to see that board games are coming back. Not that I wanted to get into the business of board games originally, because that's, you know, inventory and everything else. Yeah. You know, you make a mistake or you want to make a change, you're going to do a whole new print run and everything else. But that's just the way it's gone.
So in the game, and I guess we'll start with the online game, is this kind of like the game of life where things happen during the month, but we're still trying to save money? How does the game actually play?
Okay, so the game starts with the premise that you go into college and you, the player, are helping Penny or Sam or whoever go to college and make decisions. So you start the game off with $4,000, $3,000 in your savings account and $1,000 in your checking account. So when you're playing, you got to pay whether you stay at home or whatever. When you go to college, you still got to pay for your rent. You got car insurance. You got all these kind of groceries, all these kind of things. So you got money coming out. They have a part-time job coming in. So they got to make decisions on, you know, on the way home from school or college or university, you know, you may stop in for a coffee. Well, that coffee adds up over time. So we're just getting aware that, hey, you know what? You've got this amount of money. You're spending this. This is what's happening to your net worth. Because when you start the game, you've got $4,000. If you get money coming in, your net worth goes up. If you spend money, your net worth goes down. Meanwhile, in the background, one of the objectives of the game is to save money. So you're always trying to transfer money across into your checking account while making decisions. Then we have decisions where it might be, do you go and, you know, it's your friend's birthday. Do you buy a card and a present? Yes or no. Do you take out insurance? Yes or no. Now, with the insurance one, as you know, insurance is a gamble. You can take out insurance and never need it for the 5 years, but you can guarantee the day you don't have insurance is the day you require it.
Of course, right?
So with that in the game, it's totally random or whether you get hit for a claim or not. So you buy, so one of the questions is, you buy a new laptop for school, do you take out insurance? Yes or no? Now, if you say no, you may not get hit for an insurance claim. You may not break your computer. But on the other hand, you may, and you've got to replace the computer, it costs you another $500. You have to make that decision. Meanwhile, trying to save to hit the objectives of the game, which is to save a certain amount of money to hit your bronze, silver, or gold medal.
That's cool. But are there, if I go buy the coffee, is there an upside to that too? Because obviously in the game, it presents it as the downside, but maybe the coffee helps me, I don't know, stay awake longer so I can finish my homework so that then I get a better job.
Well, yes, there's that. And there's also the networking aspect as well.
Oh, yeah.
You go to meet somebody for a coffee. So, I mean, Joe, if I could have a suitcase full of money, you know, and that money makes the world go round, then, you know, there's all these things that we could add to the game. In the game themselves, you can actually earn more money, stay at home, you can run errands, you can do different things. Well, when you socialize, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Yes, sometimes it costs you money, but the rewards may come, like getting a job offer or meeting a friend that you haven't seen since elementary school. So it's not always about earning more money. The fact that, say, you earn $10,000 a month or $1,000 a month, if all of a sudden I give you $20,000 a month, do your spending habits change? All you probably do is go to a more expensive shop and spend the same amount proportionately again. So at the moment, with regards to coffee, it's an expense. Now, what I'm trying to do is say, okay, it's an expense. And now you've got the decision on, do you go to Starbucks, for example, and get a macchiato caramelized cold, whatever it is, with soy milk and, you know, an umbrella? Or do you just get a straight coffee that costs you $2 instead of $4.50? You know, we're trying to get you need that you need or you want that coffee. And now we're just getting you to think about your purchase.
Yeah. So you're there for networking. Why do you need to buy the $6 coffee instead of the $1 coffee?
Exactly. You can only spend a dollar once. So that's the take home of the game is you can only spend a dollar once. Make your decisions wisely. Just like you can go and buy a car. Do you need the flashiest car you can buy? Or do you need something that's going to get you from A to B and not worry what people think? That's two different principles. That's the same thing. You're spending for a car, but what's the principle behind it?
Well, you bring up the car, Paul. Does debt play a part in the game, or is that a 201 strategy?
Oh, that's a 201 or, yeah, absolutely. That's coming out next where we're actually going to have a credit card function and we're going to have a loan function. So, but again, this is where we would, you know, if I found a suitcase full of money at the bottom of my stairs, that's the next thing we'll be doing.
That's exciting. So people go to the website to play the game. They go to Cash Crunch Games. It's easy for me to say.
Say that three times.
I know. CashCrunchGames.com to play the game.
Yes. At the moment, the online version, you can go to CashCrunchGames.com. You can click on the link, play the game. And then you've got a choice. You can play online with a PC, a Mac, or a Chromebook. Or you can go to the Google Store and you can download the app for an Android device. Or you can go to the Apple Store, but go into the iPad Store, and you can play it for the iPad.
Got it. Cool. It is free.
Yes, it's free. I kept it free because I don't want there to be barriers for people to use the games, especially for teachers. You know, they pay out of it a lot of their open pockets.
Sure.
Eventually, we'll have a pay-for-play version where there's more games and there's more functions, but that's down the road. But right now, I'm keeping it for free. For the schools.
That was my next question was obviously, Paul, you guys had to make money somehow. Mm-hmm. Is that how you plan to monetize it, is with different versions down the road?
Yes. And also within the game, as you mentioned about going to get coffee at Starbucks, one of the things in the pop-up game, you've got income and expenses and all these cards. We want to put logos on the cards. So for example, you're meeting friends for coffee. There's a Starbucks logo in the top right-hand corner. Then, you know, you meet friends for coffee, pay $4. On the website, we would have a case study written about Starbucks with who they are, what they do. And then we would write something, say, for example, about franchising with Starbucks. Now, all of a sudden, the teacher goes, hey, kids, today we're going to do about franchising. Turn to the Starbucks case study. Now, all of a sudden, Starbucks is in front of the school in an ethical and relevant and responsible way.
Got it. Okay.
Kids get free resources. Kids get a free textbook. We get to keep our lights on and Starbucks gets in front of future customers.
And obviously, as the board game, which is just out and looks colorful and fun, there clearly has to be a cost for that because that's a physical product.
Yes. So what we're going to do is it's going to be $25 a game. So it's a 4-player game aimed at 7 to 12-year-olds. And we'll be able to order it through cashcrunchgames.com and eventually we'll get it into Amazon and eBay and we'll look at affiliate schemes for all the podcasters and for all the bloggers. So we're going to get it out there as much as we can. And then on the website, again, there will be the downloadable rules and variations of the rules. And there'll also be some 10 lessons or so that people in schools can use it or homeschooling can use it as well.
And for those people driving down the road or if you're out on your morning walk, it's cashcrunchgames.com. But you know what? We'll have all the links you need in our show notes at stackybenjamins.com. Well, thanks for being the big game in the middle of our financial games episode, Paul. I appreciate it.
Oh, no. Thanks for the invite. It's absolutely fantastic. And I look forward to seeing you again soon. And hopefully we can tell your viewers more about what's going on later on.
Absolutely. We'll share a game together.
Oh, I look forward to it. In fact, I'll see you in Dallas and I'll bring a board.
Big thanks to Paul Vassy for coming down to the basement. Once again, for more on Cash Crunch Games and actually even on the Dice Tower, head to stackybenjamins.com and our show notes. All right, let's get back to the second half of our fantastic discussion with Tom Vassell from the Dice Tower about board games. Wow. What do you have next? This is so fun.
Okay. Well, we like party games. This next party game is a very unusual one, and I wouldn't even recommend it for all groups. It's called Unusual Suspects. Now, on Unusual Suspects, It's a cooperative party game. And you put out a whole pile of pictures of different people. They're cartoon pictures, and they just have a variety of different faces. And one of them is the murderer or robber or whatever they've done wrong. And so I know who that is. And so then I'll turn over a card from a deck of cards, and it will say, does this person ride a bike every day? And then I just say yes or no. That's all I say. And then you look at the pictures, and you try to pick who you think you're going to eliminate based on the answer to my question. So you'll point to a picture and go, there's no way that guy ever bikes. So you can see how this game could lead to some trouble. It's a game of judging books by their cover. It might say something like, you know, this person never cleans up after themselves. And I say, no. And they're like, oh, well, definitely that person. And you're like, why did you say that? So you can see with some groups, this game might not be the best game, but it goes over so well. It's really fun.
Oh, that totally sounds like a game my family would love. We'd laugh our heads off at that.
It's okay to judge cartoon characters based on their appearance, not actual real people. But the game is fun, and it's cooperative because you're trying to narrow it down before you get to a certain number of questions.
That's fun. That's funny. That's Unusual Suspects. And I've never heard of that one either, Tom. And it's kind of funny that I've heard of – I've actually played all the finance games, of course. Look at what I do for a living. And I haven't heard of these party games. But Unusual Suspects is by who, and where do we get it?
Unusual Suspects is from a company called Cool Mini or Not. And it's available online in many different places. I always recommend, of course, Cool Stuff. They're a company I work with that has a huge amount of games online.
Awesome. Well, we're glad we got your sponsor in, Tom. That was the important part.
I wasn't trying to. You asked.
No, I think it's great. I buy a lot of stuff from Cool Stuff, too. And I don't get paid. See, I'm not being paid by Cool Stuff, and I like Cool Stuff. All right, we got time for one more. I've got goosebumps because I don't know, and I'm very curious what Tom Vassell's last game is going to be.
Well, again, I'm just throwing games out there. Right? I could do this all day. And in fact, if you go to our channel, we have done it. Christmas lists of games. We even split them into different groups. Today's games that I'm giving you are from our party games list.
Awesome.
But the next, this one is Deception Murder in Hong Kong. And in Deception Murder in Hong Kong, one person is a forensic scientist. Think CSI, who are you? Each person puts in front of them four different random objects that could be used to kill somebody and four different clues. So I might have in front of me a lead pipe, a knife, a piano wire, and a revolver, and then I have the clues would be like a footprint, an empty Coke bottle, whatever. So there's four cards in front of each person. Then cards are given randomly to everybody except for one person. That person's the forensic scientist. They don't have any cards in front of them. Everybody else looks at their card, and one of them is the murderer. So everyone puts their heads down, and the murderer looks up at the forensic scientist, and he points to which of his weapons he used and which clue he left behind. He then puts his head back down. Everyone looks up. So now the forensic scientist knows who the murderer is, and everybody else has to figure out who the murderer is and what weapon they used and what clue they left behind. And so the forensic scientist is going to show them by putting clues. So he has a card in front of him that says, what was the cause of the crime? And he might write passion. He puts a token on the word passion. And everyone looks around and goes, well, a revolver seems like it might be used in passion. Maybe Jim's this. Well, Jim is the murderer. So he'll be like, no, look at Sally's. Look, you know, she has in front of her a pen. And so the murderer is trying to, you know, make it sound logical why someone else is. And at some point in the game, each player gets to make one accusation. Like, I think it was Fred, and he used the bowling ball, and the computer disc was what he left behind. And then the forensic scientist says yes or no. If we say no, we keep going, and each person has one guess. And so it's really fun because the forensic scientist can't talk throughout the whole game. All he can do is put tokens on these cards that show words. Everyone just really has a blast. If you play with enough players, the murderer has an accomplice. One other player is helping the murderer, so he's also helping lie. And then if you play with other players, there's a witness, and that witness knows who the murderer is. But at the end of the game, if people catch the murderer, the murderer and accomplice can quick pick one person, and if they pick the witness, they still win. So the witness will know stuff, but they can't be too obvious about it.
That is funny. Deception and intrigue sounds perfect for any family holiday gathering, right? There's already deception and intrigue going on at every holiday gathering anyway.
Yeah, well, you know, well, think of it this way. If people like Clue, I think that this is like a next step for them. It's a really fun party game. and that you'll hear a lot of laughing in it. And that's Deception, Murder in Hong Kong.
And who makes that one?
That is from Gray Fox Games.
Gray Fox Games. And it's funny, that one sounds like, Tom, where Junk Art is up to four people. That sounds like you could have a lot of people play it at once.
I think it goes up to eight people, yeah. Or maybe even 10. I'm not sure. There's a lot of players that can be involved in it. I haven't played it with the full limit. I usually play it with five or six myself. Okay.
And it probably doesn't take that long either. So you could, like you said before earlier, swap people out after a game.
Oh yeah. It's like 30 minutes or so.
Yeah.
That is each game. And it's really entertaining.
That's fantastic. Well, tell everybody, Tom, about the Dice Tower, because I've been listening to your podcast since the very beginning. I'm thinking episode 10, maybe. And it has grown, and it's so fun and so interesting. We have a magazine-style show here at Stacky Benjamins. Your show is also very magazine-style. But you don't just do the podcast. You also have videos. You write reviews. Tell everybody about the Dice Tower.
Yeah, the Dice Tower is basically board games. Many people who may be listening to the show may not realize that there's as many board games in existence as there are. It's a really growing, huge hobby, and it's bigger than that shelf you see at Toys R Us. In fact, if you've ever been through Barnes & Noble's and you see, what are all these new games? Yeah, those are the games that we talk about. And so, like you said, we do videos. We don't review every board game that exists, but we're trying to come close. We do top 10 lists of board games and argue with each other over that. We do variety shows on things. We do comedy sometimes, although I've been told very strongly that we're not funny. We tell you our opinions of games. I've been told strongly that those opinions are wrong. And we do a podcast, and I've been told strongly that that podcast isn't very good. In fact, I'm not sure why I'm telling you guys to listen to any of this. But really, it's just all about board games, but we also say, and the people who play them. We like to tell stories about people and the funny things that happen or the horrific things that happen during games. We like to take a look at games and say, is this game a good fit for you? I might love it, but you might not. And it's about having fun. And we save you money because we tell you which games are bad, and that's how we tie it into this podcast.
Which is funny because by the same token, Tom, you've also cost me a lot of money, even though we've gotten tons of entertainment because of all the awesome games I bought because I listened to the Dice Tower. So I guess it cuts both ways, right?
Are you using your savings to buy these games?
It's only the discretionary money, which is what we teach on the show. So,
all right. Well, then you're okay then.
That's good. So what's next for the Dice Tower? What are you guys going to get into next?
Oh, man. Well, actually, in just a week or two, we're going on a Dice Tower cruise. It's a board game cruise, mixing a cruise with board games. I'm pretty excited about that. We're starting small, but hoping to grow that over the years. And then another year begins. There's just always more and more games and more things to talk about, really.
That's awesome. Well, thanks for hanging out with us on Black Friday. Far better hanging out with you, Mr. Vassell, than braving the stores.
Oh, you know what? Since you mentioned that, I did say I don't game much on Thursday, on Thanksgiving, but that's because Black Friday is one of my biggest game days of the year. I'm okay.
That's a huge day here, too. So we gotta go play some games, man.
I am playing. What? I'm leaving.
I'll see you later. Oh, wasn't that fantastic? That's going to do it for this episode, everybody. Hey, had a fantastic time this last week hanging out with my family and playing some board games myself, and actually stockpile and acquire, as I mentioned, are two of the games that we've been playing. If you are somebody who is interested in helping the show, here's the thing. If you head to stackybenjamins.com/Amazon, when we talk about all these gifts this week, guess what that means? That means that we will get a little thank you from Amazon, and you'll get the same price you were going to pay anyway. So during the holiday gift season, this is usually a time when we're able to upgrade our mics, upgrade our mixer, our sound processing equipment. We use Amazon for that, and it's been your generosity in the past that's helped us do that. So if you're going to Amazon anyway, and you don't mind a couple extra keystrokes, stackingbenjamins.com/Amazon helps us a lot with everything that Brent Sheldon talked about. What a great week, by the way. Brent Sheldon was so awesome on Monday, and then Bridget Carey just brings it every year on Wednesday. I can't wait to see what happens, by the way, with the console wars and the connected home. I mean, like she said, the Echo is making the connected home just so easy. And then, of course, today, Vassell and Vassy. I like that. It's almost as if we planned it. Tom Vassell from the Dice Tower, Paul Vassy from Cash Crunch Games.
Coming up next week, we're going to start off with party planner extraordinaire, Jillian Tober-Leslie, coming down to the basement. She is with the number one party site online, catchmyparty.com. And this woman knows parties, and she always has just some fantastic ideas, and I'm so glad we finally have her coming down to the basement. Then on Wednesday, Lisa Napoli has this fantastic book out. I love biographies, and I love biographies about business. So if you're like me, and with the holiday coming up, you want to read about how somebody made a lot of money, and in this case, how they also gave it away, the book called Ray and Joan, and it's this fantastic look at Ray Kroc and Joan Kroc. And man, did they have a volatile relationship. And we're going to hear about it from Lisa Napoli. Lisa Napoli also, as many of you may know, she's done a bunch of stuff with KCRW, which is where a lot of podcasts emanate from in Los Angeles. And then on Friday, we're back with another roundtable. This one, it features our friend Robert Farrington. Robert, of course, from thecollegeinvestor.com, big site for people that are interested in getting started with investing or young investors. Robert's always great radio. So can't wait to have him join Len and Greg next Friday. Big action-packed week next week. Join us on Monday. Also, remember, we have the Green Room over on our separate feed. The Green Room, if you just put Stacky Benjamin's Green Room wherever you listen to podcasts, you'll find that feed. That's behind the scenes and also past episodes. And we're taking those past episodes in order. We're still on year number one of our show, Two Guys in Your Money, which was the show that preceded Stacking Benjamins. And we walked through those on Saturday. On Tuesdays, we either have longer discussions with guests or we talk about actually how we make this show, which there's more that goes into making a podcast than you could ever believe. We just had our planning meeting for 2017. So our business partner, Kathleen, and I are talking about that. So head over there. Or just hang out. Go stack some Benjamins. We'll see everybody back here on Monday. Bye-bye.
This show is the property of SB Podcasts, LLC. The show is created by Joe Saul Sehi, produced by Richie Rutter Reese, and engineered by the amazing Steve Stewart. Special thanks to Tom Vassell for joining us today. For more on Tom's podcast, The Dice Tower, visit our show notes at stackingbenjamins.com or look up The Dice Tower wherever you listen to podcasts. Special thanks to Paul Vassey for joining us from Cash Crunch Games. Head to cashcrunchgames.com for more learning about money fun. SB Podcasts may receive payment on the show from sponsors and guests in the form of books, giveaway items, discounts, or other remuneration. There's no way you would take advice from these dorks, but like Joe's mom always says, don't take advice from people you don't know. This show is for entertainment purposes only, and before making any financial moves, consult with a real financial advisor. And special thanks to Joe's mom for playing a mean game of wash the dishes yesterday after dinner. Unfortunately, she let me win. Don't!
What's wrong with you?
It's either this show or indigestion. I hope it's indigestion.
Why?
It'll get better in a little while.